Do you realize Jesus Christ prays for believers in a way he does not pray for the world? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In these words, the Lord Jesus Christ has indicated something that should really be recognized as almost shocking to many of us in the world today. We are all acquainted with the fact, of course, that the Christian gospel is so well known in a fashion, so far as the public is concerned. All round about us there are churches. Probably no one living in our country or amongst us that has not at one time or another heard a preacher or heard praying or heard singing. It's a common thing to feel that we know what the church is about. And in the same way, although people may not read the Bible, it's a common thing for people commonly to think to feel that they know what's in the Bible in a general way, and they could tell you whether it's right or wrong, just from common consensus of opinion. In this way, the public has built up an image of Jesus Christ. They have an idea about him. It's not very specific, it's not always very exact, but it is nevertheless quite definite that the way they feel about him. And the disturbing truth of the matter is that the image of Jesus Christ, which is so popular and common amongst people, is simply not true to the actual reality of Jesus Christ. It's just wishful thinking. For instance, it's such an easy thing to assume that the Lord Jesus Christ will treat all men alike. And we can even quote Scripture that way. Right away, someone will rise up and say that God is no respecter of persons. And we love to point out that the Lord Jesus will treat all men, rich and poor, old and young, big and little, and treat them all alike. And this is true after a fashion. It's especially true with reference to their sins. And it's especially true in reference to the call. The invitation goes out to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. And that is true. But the work that is done by the Lord Jesus Christ, the actual results of believing in him and the consequences that follow, this is not general for everybody, but specifically to those who believe. The truth of the matter is that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now this is one idea that we need to hold to, pick it up and look at it and hold to it. That to be a child of God requires, on my part, that I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I have not received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I am on my own, I am not a child of His. The Bible speaks of the children of disobedience. The New Testament speaks of certain persons being children of the devil. That's the exact language that's used. The Lord Jesus himself said to certain people, "You are of your father, the devil," and so on. Now, I have no interest in pushing that out any further just now, but using it as an illustration would point out this. Any number of people would leave you with the impression that everybody is a child of God, everybody belongs to God, everybody is the subject of God's grace and mercy. And as we have been indicating to you, there is a sense, so far as God's plan is concerned, in which we could feel that this is true so far as this is concerned, that God is no respecter of persons in giving the invitation. Whosoever will may come. But it makes all the difference in the world and heaven as to whether or not a person comes. If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I enter into a relationship with him that I do not have if I do not believe. Let's put it like this. If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a member of his bride. If I do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not a member of his bride. If I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I belong to him. If I have not received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I do not belong to him. Let's be very clear about that thing. The Lord Jesus called all men unto him, and to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Now this is brought out in the portion of Scripture and that portion of the Lord's high priestly prayer that we're going to be studying today. We're in the Gospel of John, in that wonderful 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning to read at the 9th verse. And from the very outset, when you notice the 9th verse, from the very outset of this, you will take note how the Lord makes a difference in people. For instance, in the 9th verse, John chapter 17, verse 9, this is the portion that I already quoted to you. The Lord is reported as saying this, I pray for them, that's those whom the Lord had, God had given him. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now this is so plain that it would seem as though it wouldn't require any treatment. You really and truly wouldn't feel that you'd need to push this. But I wonder how many persons would actually be willing to let this stand exactly as it stands. And I'll repeat it one more time, and now from here on I will commend every hearer of mine, take this up with the Lord Jesus himself. Listen to him. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. There you have it, in just so many words. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In the 10th verse he points out, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Here's that word glorified again, and what we'll bring out of that is, I complete my operation in them. I get the job done in them. They are the ones in whom I actually accomplish what I came into the world to do. Those who believe in me and have received me, they are the ones in whom I get the job done that I came to do, namely, to bring them to God the Father and have them enrolled, as it were, and adopted, as it were, as children of God. This is what the Savior actually came to do. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. That is, he was going to take his body out of this world and take it away. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. His followers would be here even after he was killed, was crucified and killed, and he was gone. His followers would be here. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We're going to see more of that as we go along, when we say that they may be one as we are, meaning that they may blend into one unit, even as God the Father and God the Son blend into one unit. They can be one in the sense that if you graft certain branches into an apple tree, they're all one apple tree. Or if you adopt a child into your family, you may have three children of your own, and then you adopt a child into the family, and now have four children, and that child is taken into the family, gets your name and it gets the treatment and so on as being in the family. This is what he's praying for, that they may be one, that they may be inwardly unified with us, even as we are. Then he goes on in verse 12. While I was in the world, with them in the world, I kept them in my name. This indicates something that the Lord Jesus Christ did personally that probably we have little report about. We hardly ever realize that while the Lord Jesus lived with his disciples, he kept them. He watched over them. We do know that on occasion he instructed them and told them what they should do, and this is the way in which he did it. I have kept them in my name. Those whom thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Some reference here is made to Judas, and it would look as though he really fell away, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You might ask yourself, well, how would they have their joy fulfilled? One of the things that would cause them to fulfill their joy would be to know that the Lord Jesus was praying for them. And here is the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one who had been in the presence of the Father and was going into the presence of the Father again. He is the one who had been manifestly declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. They had seen it and they had heard him and they had seen his power even after he was raised from the dead. Now, these people are given to understand that this Lord, Jesus Christ, actually prays for them that they might be kept with God. It's his mind and his heart that they should be kept with God. And this fills the hearts of the believers with joy. Now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world. I speak them out loud so that people can hear them. that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. This was the great means for winning them. This is the great means for keeping them. The Bible is far more important than people commonly think. It's our very lifeblood. The real Christian is one who actually gets the truth as he finds it in the Scriptures for him. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now, this word hate does not necessarily refer to anything so vicious. It does not necessarily refer to some animosity that's actually expressed in hostile acts. It would be enough to say that when the world is not interested in our spiritual welfare, when the world would draw us away from the things of the Spirit and the things of God, when the world actually does not want to go along with us when we go to worshiping God, then the world is out of touch with us, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When the Lord Jesus says that he is not of the world, he means he did not originate in the world. What he is actually presenting is something that did not come up from human nature, but came from God itself. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the provision that has been made for us by the living Lord Jesus Christ. How he has received from thee the privilege of sharing with us his power and his glory in a way that will strengthen our faith. So we pray thee, Father, to help us to believe. Draw us nearer to him and strengthen us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.